Good morning. Welcome to the Beach Business Breakfast Show. Our guest today is Zolt from FIFO Capital. How are you, Zolt? Good?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent. Another great day at Merriweather Beach. It's going to start getting colder though, I think, but anyway, we'll worry about that a bit later. Just a reminder about the Beach Business Breakfast, 7:30 till 8:30, third Thursday of every month. Informal networking, $10 gets your breakfast and the opportunity to meet some new business contacts. So, Jeremy's with us again, and Pete the Pineapple's here.
He's getting a bit soft, isn't he?
Yeah, you'll probably have to eat him soon, but anyway, we'll sort that out. So, Zolt, tell us a bit about yourself and FIFO Capital. What sort of led, what have you done in the past that have sort of led you to what you're doing now?
Well, in a previous life, and I know I'm still quite young, I used to be a process engineer.
Okay.
So I used to work mainly in alumina refineries for multinational companies.
Yep.
And as an employee, as a worker, I knew I'd grow to a certain level.
Yep.
Personally.
Yep.
And I thought, well, to get more out of life,
yep,
I thought I need to do something else. So I was looking at running a business.
Okay.
What was your first choice?
Sorry?
What was the first choice? Obviously you turned it down, but what was the
first choice in business?
First choice of business, yeah.
Oh, look, I looked quite deeply at a Jets franchise, the fitness thing.
You
go in there and I was looking at potentially opening one in Darwin, and yep, I ran the numbers and I really needed to open three,
yep,
to have the same income as what I was earning at the time.
Mm. Okay.
And to be honest with you, the roster I was on, the lifestyle I was living, to give that up at that point,
yep,
didn't really make sense.
And then have the risk of three gyms up and running, my goodness.
Yeah, everything, obviously you make decisions based on all the information you have at the time, make the best decision you can. I'm happy I went through that process and did that analysis, because when I did come across this FIFO opportunity, just everything just made sense.
Yeah,
everything
made
sense.
So just before we get to FIFO, so you're working in engineering? For a range of companies. Whereabouts did you work? Did you work just mainly in around Australia, or was overseas?
Oh no, just in Australia. So yeah, I'd worked in West Australia, yeah, and Northern Territory.
Okay, excellent. So was that sort of like fly in, fly out, or were you sort of up
I started fly in, fly out, and that's not what FIFO means, by the way.
Yeah.
But I did start fly in, fly out on a nickel refinery. Twiggy's Anaconda, actually. I started off in the lab there, crushing, pulverising dirt samples.
Fantastic.
Worked my way through the lab,
yep,
operator out in the field,
yep,
and then became an engineer. And from then, I was an engineer there, then went to another organisation, spent a few years as an engineer.
Yep.
Once you're an engineer, everything sort of slows down a bit,
and
you need a fair bit of experience before you get to the next level. So. But between WA and Northern Territory is where I spent most of my time. So.
Yeah. So with FIFO Capital, when did that start? When did you start that?
Oh, I've been doing this for about 18 months.
Yeah.
FIFO Capital itself, we're a franchised organisation.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
there's, we're all our own business owners,
yeah,
right? So we own our own business. We are the decision makers in our businesses.
Yeah.
We don't get whipped for work or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
All our funding decisions are ours. So when someone meets me, they're meeting the business decision maker, basically.
Yeah.
But FIFO's been around for about 9 years now in Australia.
Yeah.
But like I said, I've been doing this for 18 months.
Yeah, so is it a company that established in Australia from overseas, or is it?
Yeah,
it
originated in New Zealand.
Okay.
And obviously we're in Australia now.
Yeah.
We were close to launching in the UK, and it's still going to happen, but timing issues, and we're looking at expanding into the States as well.
Okay.
So,
that has its own sort of nuances. You see what happens with some companies, starting off in a country and then going somewhere, and it either being stunningly successful or NAB have had a bit of an interesting issue with their foray into the UK. When you mentioned about finance company starting in New Zealand, it reminded me of that old joke of what's the capital of New Zealand? $2.50. So how many other FIFO people are there in Australia? Like, is it a?
Oh, there's over 70 of us Australia wide.
Yeah.
So it's quite well covered Australia wide. bulk of people in New South Wales are in Sydney.
Yep, yep.
Myself and another business owner here in the Hunter.
Yep.
We do have people in the ACT. You know, five in WA, a number in the Gold Coast, Brisbane. So we're quite well spread in all the centres.
All right. So you've got competitors in Sydney and one locally. What do you do to find customers? Are you set to an area or something? Or
well, how's that? My fellow business partners aren't competitors.
Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes when particular funding opportunities are perhaps a little bit more complex than I can solve, or perhaps the funding requirement is greater than what I can provide, we'll team together and find a solution for our client. So, look, there's that much opportunity out there that we don't see each other as competition.
So
we do work together.
If business owners need funding, there's different places they can go to. Mm. They can go to the bank, try and get an overdraft or a business loan, or you know, they might redraw on their house loan or whatever. And so where's FIFO different? Like what's
funding
their
invoice?
Yeah, the bulk of our work is cash flow funding.
Yep.
And look, I mean, business finance, you know, there's horses for courses, basically.
Yep.
Whenever someone comes to me with a funding question or a problem, the first thing I say, what do you need? What does your business need? Because obviously my product doesn't suit everyone.
Yes.
But as far as cash flow products goes, to me, it's important for me to get the message out there how we do things, because it is quite different to the major cash flow lenders. And when I get back to this, what does a business need? It is vitally important, because you know, there's not a lot of education out there about cash flow finance. We're certainly not taught about it at schools.
No, that's for sure.
And a lot of the different lenders do, although they look similar on the surface, the nitty-gritty of it is quite different between the lenders.
New-ish type of finance? Like it's not the same as an overdraft or whatever?
No, it's not the same as overdraft. It's not new. I mean, it's been around for over 100 years.
Yeah.
100 years ago, it used to be a businessman walk into a factory and say, you got any invoices you want sold? Oh, yes, we do. Here you go. Here's the cash. Thanks very much. And he walks away.
Yeah, and then he'd go and chase those invoices.
And then he would go and click on those invoices.
Right.
We're similar in that, you know, we don't have any lock-in contracts. A business can sell us one, two, three invoices, whatever they want.
Yeah.
No ongoing obligations at all.
Yeah.
And no hidden fees, you know. Yeah. So ours is really suitable for either a short-term solution or a solution where you might not qualify for a like a bank finance, for example, or you don't really want to be locked into a two-year term, or
it might be a one-off or that sort of thing.
Could be anything, or perhaps you've got 10 clients and you only need to finance one of them.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people won't do that.
So you started FIFO. They'd obviously have like pretty good support, being a franchise model, and then you go, okay. Yeah, your first day, you go, okay, here I am, FIFO Capital. How did you go about getting your first sort of clients and getting the word out, here's who I am, here's what I do. You know, there's other people, like accountants might be familiar with, like Bibby and Scottish Pacific and Invoice Market, those sorts of guys. Who, what was your first day or first week of sort of thinking,
well,
how am I going to do this?
I was new to the Hunter region, as you know. Came here to start and run this business. So I didn't really know anyone, basically. So I did start with the old cold calls. But you know, you get one or two, yes, let's have a meeting. And invariably from there, you get another lead. Oh, you should meet such and such, or you should go and speak to such and such. So it grows from there. On top of that, obviously, a lot of networking. To me, it's a lot about face-to-face. Because of that general lack of knowledge on cash flow finance, and especially the way we do it, it does take time to sit down with someone and say, oh, look, this is what we do, this is how we're different. So, you know, I've attended a lot of networking events, and I still do. Obviously, this one's a wonderful one.
This is probably one of the best in the world.
I'd say so, absolutely. You don't get a better view than this.
No, you don't get a better view, but the people, like Jeremy himself, and yourself,
absolutely.
Well, I suppose it is, different for people. You know, that sort of, that this is available and how it works and that sort of thing.
You must have reasonable sort of criteria then to take on that risk. I mean, I could just make up an invoice and give it to you and
You could.
It'd be a bit dangerous, wouldn't it? Like, you must have some risk profile.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Look, we
obviously say, oh, David is an invoice I gave to David for $10,000. Salt. I'd just like, can you give me $10,000?
Yeah. No, I mean, obviously, we do our checks.
Yeah.
Checks and balances, you know. People do try it on, but you know, it's just like any business. You've got to follow your process.
Yep.
But you know, really, for us, it comes down to knowing who our client is. So I'll give you an example. One of the first clients I had here in Hunter, went and met him. It was a referral from an accountant, and had a look at his paperwork, like his financials. Terrible, right?
Yeah.
But just talking to the guy and going, well, what's happened here? What's happened there? What have you done about it? You know, there was some health issues involved. He had the wrong people in the wrong roles.
Yeah.
He had made changes very recently. You know, he was obviously passionate about his business and wanted it to succeed,
yeah.
Right? So, I mean, I could see that.
Yeah.
And I knew that with our help, he would succeed. Yeah. So although things don't look good on paper, because I got to know the bloke, I was like, well, yeah, okay, I'm happy to work with
him. You're not personally taking on all the risk of that invoice, are you? Like, is it shared?
We're private.
Out or something?
We're private funders.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you, by yourself, you're buying my invoice? Like, literally, you are paying for my invoice? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Wow, is that scary?
So the buck stops there.
Yes.
So you've got a pretty vested interest in making sure you make a good decision then, don't you?
Well, that's right. And I guess the flip side of that coin is when a client comes to see me and knows that I'm funding them, you know, I don't refer them to some sort of back office or, you know, they don't go through to a call centre or anything like that. I can have a quick conversation with them. I've had a 5-minute sit down with one potential client, had a look and go, oh, well, I'd need to see this, that and the other. And you know, in 5 minutes, they know what they need to do if they want the facility. Yeah. It's pretty simple.
It'd be a bit like a sort of rental car versus borrowing a car kind of effect. Like the rental car, it's like a faceless, nameless organisation that you know, they're not going to care if I put the boot in and drive quickly around corners and
or put petrol in or be
a bit rough on it. Mm. Whereas if you're borrowing a friend's car. And you've got to talk to them and get the keys off them. They say, look, look after my car, please. Like, I want to get back in my... You're like, oh, okay. It's like, I've got a real person there I'm accountable to.
Mm.
So I guess there could be a bit of an effect like that. Like, they know that they're accountable to you as opposed to, like, the bank or some magical money pot in the sky. So I see that could be a... That could help filter out the...
Well,
people not doing the right thing, I guess.
Because I do get to know my clients, it helps those clients that do have a great product, but it just doesn't look good on paper.
Yeah.
You know?
So some banks won't sort of, you know, not too keen on lending to startups or people that have been in business for, say, 3-6 months. Do you guys have that sort of parameter as well? Like,
I'm happy to look at anyone, startups. Yeah. 6 months down
the
track, whatever you
want. And do you ring the customer? So you get the invoice, it's very technical, I'm sorry, but do you get the invoice and you ring the business and say, does this person, do you owe this person this money sort of thing?
Well, ours is a fully disclosed facility, so the customer is informed that an invoice is being assigned.
Right.
So we do check that the invoice is valid.
Yeah, because if they weren't going to pay, or like if they're like, no, I'm not going to pay that much or something, like you'll find out then, won't you? So.
Yes.
If they don't think they owe the money to the person that
we're not
amount is different or something.
Do you get any reaction from the person who just say we do some work and invoice Jeremy and then we say to Zolt, look to you, we want you to buy this invoice and you ring Jeremy. Do you ever get
a weird sort of reaction?
Reaction from people thinking, oh, we might be in trouble because that's why we're doing this, or that sort of thing.
Sometimes there's some confusion from the customer's point of view and what's going on.
Do you get the business to ring the customer first?
Well, the notification comes from both of us, just so that you know it's legit. You know, it doesn't look like something funny is going on.
Yeah.
And look, some customers are a bit confused as to what's going on.
Yeah.
But look, at the end of the day, you know, if if that reaction isn't quite good, that's where I'll stop.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I always stop, because he is your customer.
Yeah, exactly.
He's,
yeah,
you know, so I don't really want to interfere with that. All I want is to him to know that invoice has been signed, and that's it. That's the end of the, that's the end
and
of
that,
the story.
And that lots of businesses do it. That's just a way of cash flow financing.
Yeah.
And particular types of businesses that tend to need or look for that type of facility?
Yeah. Well, most of our business is in the construction field.
Okay.
And that's because, you
have carpenters. So a fairly long time between payment and
not,
expenses.
Yes, exactly. Not only that, but, you know, they've got a lot of input costs to get to that stage claim, you know, and then waiting again and putting more into the next stage. So
I remember seeing a report on telly about a month ago where Rio Tinto had, for all its contractors, gone from paying in like 30 days to 45 or 60, and it just sort of basically advised them all, and then they're going, well, that's handy, now we've got to wait an extra month for our money, and that's a tactic by that company to sort of improve their financing, I suppose. So
big companies like doing that, I think.
It's, so with, so 18 months down the track, FIFO's up and running, you're getting regular clientele, you're getting the network breakfasts and meetings and that sort of thing, you're getting your referral partners. What other sort of marketing do you do? Do you do, you mentioned cold calling,
I don't do cold calling anymore.
Do you do much social media? Do you do like,
I use LinkedIn. I mean, especially in the finance field, LinkedIn's seems to be the predominant social media platform. So obviously I've got a LinkedIn profile.
So
I'll post a few blogs.
Sort of directly
like
message businesses that you think are candidates. Is that how you think or not?
No. Well, look, I don't try to target business directly.
Okay.
For me, the key is referral partners. So they'll be like business bankers, finance brokers, accountants, people like that who a business might call up and go, "Oh, what do I do?" They might be the first port of call for a business in a trouble, and they go, "Oh, what do I do?" So as long as those key referral partners know that there's options available.
Leveraging that relationship.
So that's where I try to focus my LinkedIn activities. But you
Are you in LinkedIn groups? Have you joined any LinkedIn groups?
Yeah, the chamber groups, for example.
Obviously. Okay. And what about to do brochures or,
So obviously I've got brochures that are targeted at a client, if I go and sit down with a potential client. Brochures targeted at a referral partner to explain the product. But, you know, once a month I do an e-newsletter that goes to referral partners, and a separate e-newsletter that goes to clients. And it's not just, oh, look how wonderful FIFO is. It's a bit of business topics, a bit of tips, just useful stuff that people might need, you know.
Excellent. And you've sort of gone from engineering to finance and a few other things in between. What's the best bit of business advice you've ever been given?
Well, I think it was Napoleon Hill in the book Think and Grow Rich. He painted a picture, and I've never ever forgotten it in my head. It was a picture of a guy drilling for oil, and it was drilling, nothing, and he just lost heart, gave up. Next bloke came in a meter down, out comes the oil. And that picture's remained with me, and it was very handy for the last 18 months just to keep on going, right? Because I know that this product is fantastic. If you use it correctly, for the right purposes, it's the best product you can get. So I never wanted to stop drilling.
I'm just saying, people will do anything to get on our show. That's the thing about my plane. Sure, soon we'll have like people hang gliding behind us and kite surfers and that sort of stuff.
So that image is
about persevering, isn't it?
It is, it is. So I mean, that image has stuck with me. But the other thing I would say, and I've remembered this as well, is one of my fellow FIFO business partners early on said to me, I was having a conversation with him, what works, what doesn't work, and he said a certain type of industry obviously understand our product straight away. They can see how it works. So just concentrate on targeting, you know, a specific group of people.
Like get to know what their particular requirements are.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I can sing it to everyone, but unless I'm hitting a target that's got the most chance of understanding what I do,
it's like fish with a fish are, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But like you said before with the builders, you know what their pain is, which is, and you sit down and you say, oh, gee, you must have lots of contractors that are, you know, coming at you for money and customers that have got months to go till they pay you. Like, you know, you get to know their pain points or the things that really bother them, and so you can talk directly to that, can't you? And go, well, this is how this would help with that situation. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Well, Zolt, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Weather. I enjoyed it. Zolt is in the Vanuatu shirt, which is part of our Lowe's collection. So we should talk to Lowe's about getting some sort of sponsorship and getting some extra shirts and that sort of stuff. So it does get a bit boring, I imagine, for the millions and millions of viewers watching this around the world, seeing us in the same shirts.
You've got to crack 15,000 views, I think, until you get calls from... like syndication services,
so
I believe. So we've got a little bit of work to go.
But that's all right.
Hopefully I can get another three.
As the oil driller, just keep persisting.
Yeah, all five of our viewers and their dogs, they're working on it, aren't they?
Yeah, that's cool. So, well, thanks for coming in, Zolt. That's great.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, Beach Business Breakfast, third Thursday of every month, 7:30 in Merriweather Surf Club function room. Great view, great people, great breakfast, and, we hope to see you all soon. Have a great day, Zolt.
Thank you, too.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks very much.
Thanks.